our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 415, the stanza 10. Keep my soul, O gracious Savior, come. I pray, deliver me, lest my head with shame be covered, for my refuge is in thee. Trusting in thy power supreme, Lord, I wait for thy salvation. Come, Jehovah, and redeem Israel from tribulation. The 10th stanza, 415. The Holy Scriptures can be found in the letter of Romans. We continue reading now the second chapter, Romans chapter 2, but before we listen to the holy law of the Lord.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Romans chapter 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do these things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Behold, Thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art the guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thou not thyself? Thou that preachest the man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest the man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So far.
Let's seek to thank the Lord in prayer. Oh, give us to pray, in the first place for thy honor and glory, but also for the comfort of those souls that are not comforted in themselves. Lord, we pray that thou mightest work, that work that lasts eternally in Christ in our souls, to know him in the power of his resurrection to the glory of thee. Lord, open the scriptures unto us, not only to our heads to understand. And I thank thee that I got the letters of my youth here, which said that they could understand some of the scriptures that lead us to God. Bless them at school, homeschoolers, where they might go to school. Bless the teachers, the boards, and please, Lord, please, lead them to thyself, to be reconciled in the blood of Christ with thee, have an eternal life by faith in thee and thy sacrifice. Lord, therefore we pray, remember us this morning in the preaching. Ah, give us to be a means, for we can do it. But thou mightest use a fool in the foolishness of preaching to save souls to thy own glory and interest. Have mercy upon us. We thank thee that Mr. De Jager, after he had a sad thing to do in the Netherlands, bury a family member, has come back. Be with him. Days are shorter, just a short distance to eternity. Remember his soul. Please, Lord, be with the sick and afflicted, the old in age, Mr. Abbott, Mrs. Abbott. And remember also those who are at home, old age or in old age homes and institutions. Ah, Lord, thou hast more than one arrow to pierce the heart, and thou hast more than one blessing to bless the soul in Christ Jesus. Oh, remember us the catechism classes this morning, Sunday school. Please make the children listen to thy words. Make them hungry for thee, for forgiveness of sins, and the eternal gracious knowledge of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord, reveal thyself to us this morning for the first time or another time. Remember the teachers and the mothers who teach our children, the fathers, making them an example. Making them an example of thy fear, the fear of thee in our families. Oh, that they won't go in a different path than the path of the Word, that eternal Word that's thyself, O Lord Jesus, to be reconciled to thy Father in thee, but also walk by faith. And not by seeing, but by believing. By believing, Lord. Have mercy upon the church in Montreal. Again, affliction. But that's the way of thy church. Affliction upon affliction. To know that thou art guiding, infallible, reaching thy own goal and interest. Bless mine and the professors and the students, we met them, and they testified that they divinely were instructed in the everlasting truth. Lord, we pray for Canada and the United States and Europe were invaded by the prophet. We're invaded by a prophet who is not a prophet, and their followers. Lord, we pray that although we're almost empty of knowledge, revive us, please, once again. Once again. Don't give us over to the longings of our own hearts, our flesh and lust, but bring us to repentance and faith in thee alone. Lord, open the scriptures, please, please, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, last week we ended with saying, have you ever accepted judgment? For knowing the judgment, how do you know the judgment? By conscience. You know God is a judge, and he will judge you and me. Now, while it says, for knowing the judgment of God, that which commits such things, and there you have the penalty, is worthy of death. And last week I ended. I said, is there a sinner in our midst or more that really are convicted of to be worthy of death, eternal death, temporal and eternal death? Not only do the same, but have a pleasure in these things, with things, all the sins backed by the satyrs of God, these spiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. Well, in this chapter, Paul deals with the law. The gospel comes first, the law. He says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. He speaks about the law and what we do. Thou doest the same things. We always want to escape judgment by judging others and not ourselves. We always seek the fault in others and not in ourselves. We always say he is guilty. But who says, I am guilty? Who says it? For if thou judgest another, thou judgest thyself. For you do the same things. If it's not by acts, then it's by words. And if it's not by words, then it's by desire and sinful inclination. You do the same things. And do you dare to judge? You are a witness against yourself in the court of your conscience, in the court of God. And then Paul says two things. There is a hardening of heart. He doesn't start with it. He says, under the law will be a hardening of heart. Do you know what it says? Callous. What's callous? What's callous? How can my heart be made callous? Callous. What's callous? Callous is this. When I do this long enough, it will be callous, hardened. If I hear many times the gospel and am not converted, my heart will be hardened. You never leave the church like you came into the church. You never leave the church like you came into the church. Or, and then Paul says this first, he says, or by the goodness of God you are leading, led to repentance, metanoia. If God convicts you, and you see he is doing well still there, not putting you to death. Isn't that the goodness of God lead us to repentance? Gill says it's not repentance into faith, and I disagree. I believe that you've spoken of repentance like, what's repentance? That's a sorrow unto God for conversion. What's repentance? I'll come to it. And if it's not repenting, they will see that you will be hardened. So two ways. Let's first think. 12:1-4. Lord, rebuke me not in anger. Just and sore I waste away. Pity my distress and hear me. Lord, how long will thou delay? 1, 2, 3, and 4. Psalter 12. Conviction, congregation, is a matter of look and insight. I've said once, when the plow of the law goes through the soil, what does the plow do? It turns the inside upside, isn't it? If God convicts you of sin, the inside are going to be upside. God reveals the inner man as a sinner, trespassing all the commandments of God seriously. But do you know what we by nature do? We by nature condemn others, but not ourselves. Secretly, we are a bit better than our enemies. And the Bible clearly says, you're inexcusable. Oh man, doesn't matter which man, Jew or heathen, a man by nature, O man, whosoever thou art that judges, for wherein thou judges another, what it might be, which sin might be named, judging another, you are judging yourself down. You're a witness to your own sin and condemnation. That's what the Bible says this morning. I've said several times that in the church there are windows. But in the church wouldn't be windows, shouldn't be windows. There should be mirrors to see your own sin, your own guilt and shame, your own judgment before God. Why it says the Bible? The Bible says, thou condemnest thyself if you are condemning other peoples. If you condemn them to death, you condemn yourself to death, to the eternal judgment of God, says the Bible. For you do the same things. So, what you say of other people, and have said this week of other people, you do the same things and condemn yourself in the court of God. Now, yeah, you will say to me, Pastor, I'm not that bad. I know what you're saying. I know that you try to excuse yourself being better than your neighbor. I know. I do it. The worst people are outside of the church, isn't it? I believe some have said to me, your church is always a church of sinners. I said, I hope so. But sinners with grace, sinners with mercy, sinners with Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And congregation, be honest, how many times this week did you judge others? Your co-workers, your personnel. Your friends. Your evil family members. God says, then you have judged yourself and condemned yourself. God turns your tables to your own tables. And he says, God's judgment according to the law, according to God, is truth. Against whom commits such things? Don't think there is not judgment. God judges now. And it's true judgment. Have you ever heard it? Has God ever brought you there? True judgment. Have you been in the court of God? Have you been in the court of your own conscience? Ben je geweest in het gerecht van je eigen geweten en in het gerecht van het oordeel van God? Bent u daar geweest? Are you? And have you been there? Or you say he and she. But if God comes to you, he say, by Nathan, you are the man. You are the man. You. And that judgment is truth. Don't think you can escape it. And if God starts to work in your soul, you can't escape it. He is shining around you with his glory. And you see your unworthiness, your sinfulness, total depravity, and impossibility to be saved. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things and do as the same, that thou shalt escape judgment of God? There comes a time we have to stand before the judge of heaven and earth. And it might be today when God calls you to come to meet him in the court of his eternal judgment congregation. Young people, don't think you can die. Some young children are called early for the judgment seat of Christ and the anger of an eternal God unless your sins are forgiven you. Oh, young people, don't think it's not so bad. It's worse than you can imagine. A sea of wrath, a fire inexcusable and inextinguishable, can be extinguished. God's judgment is true. And I believe if God is working in your soul, you will know that that judgment is true. God judges you. Is that all you can say, Pastor? No. But this has to be said first. We're all condemned. We're all on our way by nature to hell. We all are on the hands of an angry God, says Jonathan Edwards. Sinners in the hands of an angry God against sin and judgment. We all are. Don't you fear? Never feared? Mocking with it? Living in sin and practice of sin? But there is a thing that's wonderfully said by the apostle. If that's really happened in your life, that God put you to judgment and show you all your sins, backbiters, haters, fornicators, liars, thieves, murderers. Are you? I am. If not by acts, then by words. And if not by words, then by desires. I'm totally depraved, rotten sinner, to the bottom core, my own life. And you're traveling to the judgment seat of Christ, and it might be today, might be today. But then he says this, or despisest thou, O man, I say, O man, the riches of the goodness and forbearance and longsuffering of God. I thought about the conversion and I gave a biblical example. Jonah preached to Nineveh that they had 40 days before the city would be turned upside down. Why 40 days? They immediately believed that God put them to judgment. But for the wonder in their heart was that God didn't execute judgment immediately. When God convicts you of sin, you believe that He will execute judgment immediately. And I said last time, you're worthy of it. But then the wonder starts wondering. He is long-suffering. He keeps up with you. He doesn't put you immediately to death and takes away your life. Nineveh had 40 days. They believed that what Jonah said, the anger of God. But they were not immediately condemned. And the city was not immediately turned over. And do you know what they did? They started repenting for the goodness of God that they were not sent immediately to hell. You know what's the wonder of all wonders? When I'm evil to the core of my soul and God is still good to me and long-suffering. Paul says, I am the example of the long-suffering of my God, and I'm still the example of the long-suffering of my God. Are you not an example of the long-suffering of your God? And the forbearance. He forbore Saul of Tarsus when he was killing the Christians. Why? He loved him. And in due time he reconciled himself to him by the blood of Christ applied to his soul, by the revelation of salvation in Christ. Everyone that's unconverted and has no knowledge of Christ, I have to ask you, and I'm going by the law, is God not good unto you? Isn't it a wonder that He keeps up with you? While you continue in sin and practice sin, if it's not actual, it's words, and if it's not words, it's sinful lusts and desire, hatred within to your neighbors, being better than your neighbors. Isn't God forbearing you and good to you till this moment? And you can shrug it away. You can say, he's good to everyone, but then you're not the subject of it. But if God puts you to judgment and you see, you know what for me was a wonder of all wonders? I tried to keep my sleep away when judgment was poured into my soul, and I thought, if I go into sleep, I will be lost. So I was begging and begging, and I tell you this, I still fell asleep. And when I knew the next morning stood up, I saw the goodness of God that I wasn't in hell. Then it becomes personal. And I started to repent. This is what I have sinned. I'm not worthy to be saved. I'm worthy of hell. The law condemns me, and I have to condemn myself. But thy goodness lead us to repentance. What's repentance? Repentance is a sorrow for God. It's a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's a guilty soul before the eternal God, and we need to be made guilty. Why do I say it? There might be a legal fear of the law. That's not saving. Judas had a legal fear of the law. And some people teach it today, if you have a legal fear of the law, that's good enough. That's not good enough. That's not saving. You might fear and tremble. Judas took his own life even. And I'm not saying there is no the time that you fear and tremble. You do. But if it's not bringing you to repentance, to a broken heart and a contrite spirit that you have sinned and are worthy of death, you're not saving, having any saving grace. It's just fear and trembling. It's legalism to the core. It's common work of the Spirit. It's not a saving work of the Spirit. And I've seen many. I just read a book this week, The Great Revivals of Jonathan Edwards under the ministry of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield. There was common grace. And later on, Jonathan Edwards said, half of those who I thought were converted were not. They had just common grace. Common operations of the Spirit. Fear and trembling. But if God starts to work in your soul, He leads you. He leads you with crying and weeping to Himself. His goodness breaks you when you're just evil. No one is good by itself to an evil man, but God is good to this evil man. To you still. And you're not good to Him. If you don't come with weeping and tears, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, you have no grace. You have any impression, a little or a bit more. I tell you, boy, if you're guilty and God works, then you will accept judgment. And if you never accept judgment, dear friend, you will never be converted truly. I've sinned, says Paul, and done that's evil in thy sight. I'm not worthy to be thy child, says the prodigal, anymore. It's over with me. I hope that true conversion might be seen here. But listen, if it doesn't start with the law, it's not true. But if it's only law, it's not true too. The goodness of God, don't you know that it leadeth to repentance? John the Baptist preached. And he said to the Pharisees, they had legal fears For the judgment, he says, show me your life out of the fruits. And what were the fruits? If you have two coats, give one away. That's love. It's a fruit of faith and repentance. And if there is true repentance, it's the way to Christ, where he's seeking the lost. In the ruins, he will reveal himself to you. I know he does. Do you know, people? I can't stand the goodness of God. But if that goodness of God is poured out in my heart and seen in my life, I have nothing than sin and guilt. And I'm ashamed of myself, to condemn myself. And even after grace, and the least of the apostles, the least of the saints, not worthy to be called an apostle, not worthy to be saved, not worthy to be saved. And do you know, by nature we despise the goodness. By nature you don't even believe the goodness. That's grace. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness. That's a treasure. And the forbearance and the long-suffering. Not knowing, don't you know? Spiritually, experimentally, don't you know that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? I believe when God started converting you, sinners, we hear a cry and a sigh, have mercy upon me, the sinner. We can just sit just in the church untouched. God will break you, he will go home crying, you've sinned against God. And isn't he good still for you? And are you good to him? You're not. You're not. You can't sleep. You think, oh, there he goes again. Yeah, you know. You despise it. You're not looking to your bread this morning. That all you deserve not to eat anymore. He filled your plate with all the goodness. He brought you to the gospel this morning to be heard that God is saving sinners and that he is good unto those who are not good to him, despising his goodness. Even this morning, despising his goodness. Say, it's not for me. Are you there? How do we there? How do I there? Let's sing 415, 3 and 4. Call, O mind of Lord Jehovah, tender mercies manifold, and thy store of loving kindness. And what's following? 3 and 4, 415. the Bible comes to a conclusion. He says, if your heart is not broken, if you despise the goodness of God, there's another way. If it's not the first, then the second. Or despisest thou? Have you ever eaten your bread with tears? For you were a sinner, not worthy of it. Have you ever? Have you ever opened your eyes in the early morning, not worthy that you would live any longer? No? Then the other way is there. You have despised the goodness of God, not made an application to your own soul of it. Or God didn't make, but I'm not saying God didn't. You have despised it. What happens then? But after the hardness of thy heart, that's a sin of church-going people, of people who hear the word every Sunday. It's the seed that comes by the wayside. And what's the wayside in the Bible? That's not an asphalt road. The plow has gone through the field, and on the side you are walking and making a path. And you walk according to that path every day to reach your field. You're hearing the word of God every Sunday and are not converted. And you don't have even interest to be converted. You don't see the goodness of God. You don't hear the gospel that Christ came to save sinners. Do you know what happened to you? Your heart will be callous. That's the original word, callous. If you sin and you continue, the word doing here is praso, is continuing sinning, continuing rejecting the goodness of God. Your heart is callous. Your heart, what a heart van eelt. Als je veel naar de Bijbel gaat, naar de kerk, en je blijft onbekeerd, krijg je een hart van eelt. Zo hard een steen. That's the sin in the church. When you despise the goodness of God, and by nature you do, well, because you want to continue in sin and not repent of sin, you want to continue your evil ways and not repent, because repentance means hating sin. And you hear the gospel. And every Sunday you come to the church more callous, more callous, more callous, more callous. When I said farewell to my congregation in Stapperston, I had to shake probably 1,000 hands, even more. But they were all farmers' hands, full of callous. Oh, my hands couldn't stand it. So that's callous. They worked. And were protected by callous. But callous has a negative sign and work on your soul. If you continue sin, my dear friend, you will be callous, unreachable, hard, harsh, rude. And under that hardness of heart, that callousness, you are doing something that's wrong. You treasure a treasure. What kind of a treasure? Of good things? No. Up unto thyself. Not for others, but for yourself. Wrath! For you have neglected the goodness of God. You gather wrath as a treasure. Against the day of wrath. There comes a day God will judge the whole world, you and me. And you've gathered wrath, an eternal wrath of God to your poor soul, says Paul. No, God is love. No, God is not only love. He hates sin, punishes sin to death. You've gathered wrath. As a treasure. And the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. For God will be righteous to judge it out. The eternal wrath of God. And you get a treasure of wrath to your soul. If you don't break. And despise the goodness of our eternal God. Always condemning others, but never being condemned. Pastor, you are too strong this morning. I'm not, for the day of wrath is worse than I ever can express to you. It's a fire in the sea of fire. Don't you know? Young man, don't you fear? Do you mock this morning in your seat? And say, oh, that black monster on the pulpit. Do you despise God's goodness? Do you think it's not for me, but for others? Do you reject the gospel preached there? And by nature, do. You're not that bad. And you will be better. If you judge others and you think you're better, you're judging yourself. Judging down yourself. No, but he, no, you. What he does is his. What you do, that's yours. Not we. I always hear people when they have some conviction say, are we all sinners? Had nothing to do with it. You and me are you. Not him. Not this. You. Once you will be called your name, he says, John, you have to meet me. You have to be righteous. But you have despised the gospel, the goodness. Preached there. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. If you're still under the law, you despise the goodness of God, the preaching of the gospel, you're still under the law, then God will pay what you did. says Paul, the word of God, will render to every man personally according to what you did, with your acts, with your mouth. It's a serpent killing others, judging others. For what you judged others, you do the same things. And this remarkable life said sometimes to sinners, why are they just looking to other men's sins? Because they know within themselves. Your sins are always seen by yourself in others. Your own sins. You're aware of your sins by your conscience, and you see it in others, and you think, if he does it, for me it's not that bad. It's bad. Yourself, me. One day I said to my wife, I have to go and meet my judge. And if he has not saved me by his blood, I have to fear. But he did. He put judgment in this life to set me free. Now, Pastor, you should stop talking about yourself. Okay, but I do. But this is what Paul says. What the Bible says. To them who by patience, continuous, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. And then, continues, with glory, honor, and peace to every end that worketh good, to the Jew first. And 8, but unto them that are contentions and do not obey the truth. Originally it says, do not believe the truth. Do not believe in Christ. Do not believe in Christ. Contentions, always fighting with God, doing better, knowing better. But there are others who by patience, continuance, as a fruit of the Spirit, seek for the glory of God, because you lost your own glory. The honor of God, for your honor has no value, dear friend. You're created for the honor of God. An eternal life. That's by faith in Christ, have an eternal life. And what's eternal life is knowing God and Christ whom sent by him. That's have communion in Christ with God. Then God will be glorified in Christ Jesus. And by the grace of God, you will repent your sins and seek the fruits of the Spirit. By patience, do you know what it means? To be put under. Normally we're up. But if grace is worked, you're put under. You have the lowest spot. And Christ has the highest spot. And your neighbor has a higher spot than you have. And then you don't seek your own glory. Yeah. By nature you do sometimes, your flesh. But that's not what satisfies you. If you're a child of God, you have one desire, that God will be glorified. Is that your glory? Yeah, that's what you want, eh? And you can do it. God does it in you. By His Spirit. By His Holy Spirit. Seek for the glory and honor, immortality, and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, always fighting. If you are a minister for 40 years, you have always people in the church fighting with you. pretentious. Ah, but Pastor, yeah, but Pastor. I should be deaf to it. If you have ever stood before the judgment of heaven and earth, for the judge of heaven, do you know what happens? Your mouth is shut. You're not arguing and saying that you are so good and do good and that you're better. Contentious. Contention means you make tension. You have people in church always, they want to stoke a fire. Brawl a fight. And they think it's Christian. That's not it. By hypomone, being brought low, seek the good of the other, and the glory of God, and the honor of God. That's grace. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not always like it. I know what you're saying. But then you repent about your old rotten nature and said, Lord, how can I be delivered of it if you're a true Christian? Otherwise, I don't give a syllable for your perversion. Who shall deliver me of the body of sin? You're not justifying your sins. Do not obey the truth, don't believe in Christ, it says. That's obeying the truth. But they obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, for the Jew first and also the Gentile. With glory, honor and peace to every man that worketh by grace as a fruit of the Spirit, good. That's Christ himself, he is good. His work and his grace shown to your soul. For there is no respect of persons. God doesn't say you have a good family or you belong to a family which are a lot of children of God in it. No. Me and you, one day, your mother will leave you, dear friend. Your father can't hold your hands. I had a man, he was a salesman of Caterpillar worldwide. And he came to my church in the Netherlands and later Hamilton. I said, why are you coming here? He said, well, my father passed away 2 weeks ago and I have been so far away and gone the wrong direction, and I want to sit at his bedside time and again and hold his hand while he was going to pass away. You know what my father said to me? He said, boy, don't keep my hands. They will be rotten. You need to meet God yourself. And I need to meet God myself. You can go along with me. He said, now I'm here. I sinned my life away, and he was crying. Never forget it. But congregation, your tears won't be your salvation. You need to know Christ. But he leads you by tears and supplication to have an only comfort. Who needs to be comforted? Those who weep. Sorrow and to God. one day, one moment, the twinkle of an eye, when he reveals himself to your soul. He takes away your tears. And he says, rejoice in me. I've loved you with an eternal love. And he kisses you on all the cheeks. And he embraces you in his spirit. And he says, you're mine, and I'm yours. I'm your law fulfiller, death overcomer. And although you're still the sinner, in me you have peace. Everlasting peace. Oh, my dear congregation, how long do you dare to sit here unconverted? How long do you dare to sit here unconverted? How long do you dare to get a wrath as a treasure outside of Christ? How long do you dare to speak about religion not knowing God in Christ? How long do you dare? God despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God lead us to make me have mercy for any grace, to teach me to condemn myself and justify God if he doesn't want to look at me anymore. Justify my God if he doesn't want to look. And then he says, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, my Zacchaeus, come down. I will be in your house and never leave you anymore. For I am yours and you are mine. God bless his word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. But I hope here are people who thank thee for judgment. For thy people is judged in the court of conscience, in the court of day, on this side of the cemetery. And in that judgment, put free by the judgment of thy Son, who said, it's finished. He was made my sin that I might be his righteousness. He was made my judgment that I might be his peace. He was made my hell that I will be with him in paradise. Have mercy upon us. Remember the catechism classes and the youth. And please, Lord, convict them and show thy goodness. Oh, revive us once more. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. We sing lastly 446, 1 and 2. 446, 1 and 2. Out of the depths of sadness and what's following. can we go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.